The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from the Epistle of St. James, chapter 1. Dearly beloved, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he shall be compared to a man beholding his own countenance in a glass, for he beheld himself and went his way, and presently forgot what manner of man he was. He that hath looked into the perfect law of liberty, and hath continued therein, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man think himself to be religious, not bridling his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Religion, clean and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their tribulation, and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in Proverbs. The hour cometh when I will no more speak to you in Proverbs, but will show you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not to you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father." His disciples say to him, "Behold, now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we know that thou knowest all things, and thou needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Queen of heaven, rejoice. Alleluia. These words are taken from the prayer of the Regina Caeli. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, we are still in the season of Easter, Eastertide. And the Church prays a special prayer to Our Lady during this joyous season. Normally throughout the year, the Church prays three times a day, at 6 noon, and then again at 6 in the evening, the prayer of the Angelus, which prayer also is prayed in honor of Our Lady. But from the time of Easter until the time of Pentecost, the Church prays the prayer of the Regina Caeli in place of the Angelus. And it is a very beautiful anthem to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I would like to take this opportunity on the first week of the month, which is devoted to our Blessed Mother, to talk about this particular devotion to the Queen of Heaven and Earth. The Regina Caeli is a tribute to our Lord's resurrection, which is remembered by the presence of the Paschal candle here in the sanctuary. And the prayer also reminds us of the fifth glorious mystery, in contrast to the first glorious mystery, the coronation, where we meditate on the final mystery of Our Lady's coronation as Queen of Heaven and Earth. I'd like to tell you the ancient tradition which tells of how this joyous anthem came to be. It is related that a terrible pestilence raged in Rome during the reign of Pope St. Gregory the Great, who was the Pope from the year 590 to 604. happened one year during Easter that everyone was falling victim to this horrendous pestilence. What you might call the plague was ravaging everywhere in Rome. And it was no doubt in the eyes of the people and the clergy a punishment from God. And so in order to appease the anger of God, the Holy Pope, Pope Gregory the Great, prescribed a public procession. Both the people and the clergy joined in this procession. And what really stood out in the procession was a beautiful painting of Our Lady. And it was no ordinary painting of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was, in fact, the painting which was painted by St. Luke the Evangelist. The painting, now around 2,000 years old, was at that time just 500 years old or so. And while the procession was going along towards St. Peter's, Pope St. Gregory chose to walk directly behind this painting of Our Lady. And as the Pope followed in procession, along with all the clergy and the people, all of a sudden, the atmosphere, the air, which up until that moment was filled with this horrendous pestilence, immediately the air became pure and free from the disease. What moments before brought so many people to death, moment by moment, was instantaneously removed through the power of Our Lady's intercession. As the procession came to the bridge, joining the city with the Vatican, everyone suddenly heard singing coming from near the painting of Our Lady. And looking in that direction, a choir of angels could be heard singing. They were singing above the picture of our Blessed Mother. And these are recorded the words the angels sang. Rejoice, O Queen of Heaven, Alleluia. For he whom thou didst deserve to bear, Alleluia, has risen as he said, Alleluia. Imagine how glorious it must have been to take part in this procession, which was graced not only by the great Pope St. Gregory the Great, but also the painting of St. Luke the Evangelist of our Blessed Mother. And then to have part of the nine choirs of angels as your choir in procession. As soon as the heavenly music finished, Pope St. Gregory, with great courage, then added these words. He said, in speaking to Our Lady and following upon the angelic choir, pray to God for us, Alleluia. And the Pope, then raising his eyes to heaven, caught sight of what seemed to be an angel. In fact, it was an angel with a different mission than the angel sent to sing the praises of Our Lady. It was the destroying angel who was standing on the top of the mausoleum of Hadrian. Hadrian was the Roman emperor in the early second century. Hadrian was famous for building the wall named after him, Hadrian's Wall, which marks the boundary of the Roman power in England. And as the Pope looked up and saw this angel standing on top of Hadrian's mausoleum. The angel was holding the sword, and then Pope Gregory saw him sheath his sword into his scabbard. And in memory of this apparition, the mausoleum was from then on called to this day the Castle of the Holy Angel. Workers eventually built and placed on the dome of the castle an immense statue seen today, representing the destroying angel holding his sword in the scabbard. And this was the composition of the glorious Paschal anthem to Our Lady, the Regina Caeli prayer. And as I mentioned, it is a short prayer or hymn that can be either sung or said in honor of Our Lady. In this prayer, we actually command Our Lady to rejoice. The word laetare is the Latin word, which is in the imperative mood, which is a command, which all those who pray this prayer, we are commanding Mary to rejoice. Queen of Heaven, rejoice. And it is fascinating to think why this would be. The answer is given in the next two lines of the angel's prayer. For he whom thou didst deserve to bear has risen as he said. So it is a twofold answer. One answer has to do with the mystery of the incarnation. The other answer involves the mystery of our Lord's resurrection. With regards to the first mystery, the mystery of the incarnation, St. John Eudes tells us, if Mary had not been humble, St. John writes, the Holy Ghost would not have descended upon her. And if he had not descended upon her, she would not have become the Mother of God. That's why St. Alphonsus de Liguori says that the Virgin Mother, by her humility, merited to be exalted above all creatures. And so it was through her humility that she deserved, above all others, to become the Mother of God. So the angels on that glorious procession were sent by God to tell Our Lady to rejoice because she deserved to become the Mother of God. And each time we pray this prayer, this Regina Caeli, we are repeating the very words of the angels. Now words made by a man. Angelic words. How fast we can sometimes go through them. How quick we can repeat them without giving full thought, meditation to what they mean. The second reason we command Our Lady to rejoice is found in the words sung by the angels. He has risen as he said. St. Paul said, if Christ be not risen again, your faith is in vain. But since Christ did rise again, we therefore have every reason to rejoice, not only in our holy Catholic faith, but also in the fact that we are members of that church for whose justification Christ rose again. In other words, the resurrection of our Lord is proof, living, perpetual proof of his resurrection and a pledge of our own salvation. It is a proof of his divinity. The resurrection is a proof that he is truly God. Furthermore, it is a proof that Mary is the Mother of God. That's why each time the Regina Caeli prayer is recited, Our Lady rejoices over her supreme privilege of the Divine Maternity, the great feast we celebrate every October 11th. And so we do command, in a sense, the Queen of Heaven to rejoice, firstly, over the fact of her becoming the Mother of God, the Incarnation, and secondly, in honor of the resurrection of God, her Son. It is also important to notice when Holy Mother Church determines this prayer to be recited in her liturgy. It is to be prayed from Easter until Pentecost. It is during the time of celebrating our Lord's victory over sin and death. His passion and death is over. He arises from the dead, and he walks with his apostles, with his disciples, appearing to the multitudes to strengthen them. By his death, salvation is made possible. It is therefore a time of supreme joy, and that is why this anthem to Our Lady the Regina Coeli is given to us by Holy Mother Church to be recited only after Our Lady has endured her share in the suffering, the seven sorrows which she experienced. Her seven sorrows are very closely intertwined with the life of her divine Son, Jesus. And only after experiencing all seven sorrows does the resurrection then take place. How comforting and joyful must have been for Our Lady when, after our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he then appeared to his Blessed Mother. That only then, at that point, when she was able to behold her Son, that at that point were the swords, those seven swords of sorrow, removed from her heart. How she must have rejoiced to see him risen from the dead. What happiness must have filled her immaculate heart. And so must it be with us. Sometimes it is only after we have gone through great difficulties and trials, that only after we have persevered through the difficult and dark moments, that only after we have braved the storm of temptation, that only after we have prayed over and over and over for help, that only then do we begin to see the light and then have peace and happiness come into our souls. We have to go through the difficult temptations, the trials. It is only through these difficult ways that God purifies our souls. And also because he wants to see those who are truly his friends, those whom he can count upon, from those who are his friends in name only. They who fall away when it becomes difficult to be good and practice virtue. The seed on the wayside that blew away in the wind. Or the birds came and ate the seed therefrom. Our Lord wants to see those who remain faithful followers of him. Those who are faithful to his commandments. Even when it becomes very difficult to continue on. That's where our Lord looks to see who will follow me. Will you too also go away, or will you stay? And what better example, or what greater help, can we possibly have than the Mother of God herself? She who experienced all seven sorrows. Let us then ask our Heavenly Mother for the grace of perseverance. To ask her for help in time of temptation, in times of darkness and despair, or whatever difficulty that we may face, knowing that she will give you, she who is the mediatrix of all graces, Our Lady will give to us the graces we need to persevere. Remember that before God created light, the world was in darkness. And so too must we at times first endure the darkness of trials and tribulations before God restores to us the light of peace and joy. It remains up to us to stand steadfast, to stand with Our Lady at the foot of the cross, to be by her side sharing the burden of the suffering that is our temptations, our difficulties, as she beheld her son dying. And then we will be able to partake in her joy of the resurrection of her divine son. And we can then truly pray the Regina Caeli and take part in the joy which fills the soul of our Heavenly Mother. We can then truly tell her to rejoice in the incarnation and to rejoice in the resurrection. And know that as a good mother and as the mediatrix of all graces, she will allow us to share in the happiness which fills the soul of her Immaculate Heart. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.